Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shalom, everyone. I would like you to please open your Bibles today to the first chapter of the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Yohanan. And I would like today to continue with the reading of the Word of God. We are studying in John chapter 1. We are studying the whole Gospel of John. This is the fourth Gospel. This is the Gospel that presents our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah as the eternal Son of God. God the Son who became a man, and the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One, that believing on Him, recognizing who He is and what He has done, will provide for one eternal life. We have arrived to 35th verse of John chapter 1, so I would like you to follow me as I'm reading John 1:35 to verse 51. And so we read. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Yeshua, Jesus, as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Yeshua turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, or in Hebrew Shimon, and he saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, Matsanu et HaMashiach, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Yeshua, and when Yeshua beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon Bar Yona, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law, and the prophets did write, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Yosef. And Nathanael saith unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, Behold, an Israeli indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Atahu ben ha-Elohim. Atahu melech Yisrael. Yeshua answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And I'm going to stop, beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, here in verse 51. I read for this ministry meeting in John 1, verses 35 to 51. And really, now we've arrived to the time in which the first Talmidim, the first disciples of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, were now following after him. In fact, in these verses, John 1, verse 35 on, all the way to chapter 12 and verse 50, we have the public ministry of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. To remind you that up to this point, he was in a sense hidden from the eyes of men, except for some time that when he was 12 years old, we're reading of him that he went to the temple in Yerushalayim, but really he was not hidden in the sense of not being seen, but he was not in the public until this John 1 in verse 35. By the time that we conclude in chapter 12, there we find him in chapter 13 on in the upper room in the city of Yerushalayim with his disciples, keeping Pesach, celebrating the feast of Passover, the feast of Pesach, introducing what is known to be to us today the Lord's Supper, or is it the remembrance meeting? And then in the remaining chapter, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, he is there in the upper room with his disciples on a way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, he is captured, being taken to Pilate and Caiaphas, and ultimately on a Roman cross. And there he died to pay for the sin of this world. So here with this ministry in John 1 verse 35 to verse 51, we see the early disciples that have become his own disciples. In Hebrew they are called Talmidim, the followers of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the early ones. And so we begin to deal with Yeshua's public ministry. Again, to remind you that in this very same chapter 1, we could see that he was the eternal word, the logos, the mimra. He was the eternal one. He was one of the persons of the Godhead. He was the creator of the universe. He was the divine one. And he was the one that in him was life, the source of life. He was the one that was the source of light. And he became a man, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. Then we could see from verses 15 all the way to verse 34 that John the Baptizer, came to witness, to give a testimony that Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of this world, have come. We read that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. We also have seen that John bear record and he confessed that he is not the Messiah. He himself was not the Messiah. He himself was not Elijah, Eliyahu, or that prophet, but that he was but a voice who is crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Messiah is here. The Messiah have arrived. Israel, get ready. The Mashiach is here. He is in your midst. And then he presented him as Yeshua, the next day, Jesus came towards John and Jen, Yohanan Amadbil, John the Baptizer, proclaim, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of this world. Hine se ha Elohim. Se ha Elohim. Hanose et chata'at ha'olam. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of this world. Well, now we have arrived to verse 35. From verse 35 to verse 51, we have the early disciples. In fact, in verse 35 to 39, we have the first two disciples, Andrew and another. And then in verse 40 to verse 42, we have a third disciple. His name is Shimon, Simon Peter. And then in verse 45 to verse 51, we have additional disciple. We find out here about Netanel. We have Philip and Netanel that are mentioned in these verses. And so beautiful to see how John, Yohanan HaMadbil, John the Baptizer, directing the attention even of his own disciples to the person of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah. And so in verse 35 to verse 42, we see the disciples. It says in verse 35, again the next day. Notice, in verse 35, we have the following day. The events occur one day after another. In verse 29, it says the next day. You notice that? So what we do have, the first day in John 1:19, and this is the record of John when the Jewish leaders, we mentioned the fact that when you have Jews in the Gospel of John, some almost 70 times, most of the time it had a reference to the Jewish leaders, to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, to remind you that everyone in this event is Jewish, Yeshua being Jewish, the disciples being Jewish, John the Baptizer being Jewish, the people, the multitude being Jewish, the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees are being Jewish. John emphasized in his own gospel the Jews is in reference to the spiritual leaders of Israel. So every time you read HaYehudim, the Jews, he always have a reference, 95% of the time in the Gospel of John has a reference to the Jewish leaders. And so the first day, the Jewish leaders sent some Levites and priests to ask John who he was. Verse 29, the next day, the Lord Jesus come to Yohanan HaMadbil, to John the Baptizer, and he proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. Now the third day, in verse 35, again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Yeshua as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Now I want you to notice, it's very interesting because there is a spiritual lesson here. In verse 29, it says, Yeshua came to John, and John proclaimed, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. He wanted Israel to know, here is God's Lamb. Here is the promised Mashiach, the promised Messiah. Here is the promised one of Israel. He is the one that takes away the sin of this world. Not only atone for the sin of Israel, but take away the sin. Not only the sin of Israel, but take away the sin of this world. But when we get to verse 35 and 36, the following day, which is the third day, we find out now that he is proclaiming, behold the Lamb of God. Now notice, brothers and sisters, he doesn't say the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He already said it in verse 29. But here he's just simply proclaiming, look, behold, hine, look, here is the Lamb of God. Now notice the difference between verse 29 and verse 35 is simply this. In verse 29, we see Yeshua comes. In verse 35 and 36, we see Yeshua walk. The only difference we can see is the one represents His coming. He's coming down to this world. He's coming down sent by God. He's coming down to pay for the price of the sin of the world, because soon and very soon, at the end of these 3 years, 3.5 years of His public ministry, He will become the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of this world. And as we look at Him and we see Him as the Lamb of God who took upon Himself the sin of this world, now, after we have accepted Him and embraced Him, we are to look at Him as He walks, and just not so much to be occupied with our sins to be forgiven, but to be occupied with the person. Who is He? We just read in verse 34, "And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God." God the Son, who became a man. In other words, John the Baptizer this time, he has his disciples, two of them, with him. The word disciples come from the Hebrew word talmidim. To be talmid, to be a disciple, is not only to be a student, but to be a follower. Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptizer, was just like other of the rabbis among the people of Israel who had followers. We read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3 that many from Judea and the surrounding area, and the surrounding area by the Jordan, came to Him to lehitavel, to be immersed by Him, confessing their sins, because He was presenting the coming kingdom. The kingdom is coming. And many followed Him and understood that the King is coming and the kingdom is going to come. And so here now He has some of His disciples. And notice, brothers and sisters, my dear friend, it says here in verse 36, He declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, Hine Seha Elohim, God's Lamb." And immediately in verse 37, the two disciples heard Him speak and they follow Yeshua, they follow Jesus. Notice that? It says, "And the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus, followed Yeshua." And this is so beautiful to see in the life of the John the Baptizer, that he always directed the attention to the person of the Lord. That's why he called himself, in the previous verses of this same chapter, John 1, verse 23, he says, "I am a voice." That's all. "I am but a voice that is crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah." Get yourself ready. Here is the one. Here is the Lamb of God. You need to get your life straight and turn to Him, because He is the one that I would like to represent, to present you before Him. So look at Him. So the two disciples, instead of continuing to follow Yohanan HaMatbil, John the Baptizer, they followed after Yeshua. This is so beautiful, beloved friends, that they followed after Yeshua, the Messiah Himself. In fact, if you look at the Gospels, you will notice once and again how the early disciples were directed to the Lord. Actually, those two disciples, we don't read their names here, but these are Andrew and another of whom we know, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. In Mark chapter 1 and verses 14, we read, "And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" We read, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting their net by the sea, for they were fishers. And Yeshua said unto them, 'Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And straightway," verse 18, "they forsook their nets and followed him." This is so beautiful. to see these two disciples who used to be the disciples of John the Baptizer. They left him for Yeshua. Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. John, in John 1 and verse 37, we find out that after he proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God," the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed after Yeshua. And really what happened in between the line, we find out that the Lord also said to them, as he walked there by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men." So Simon and Andrew, Shimon and Andrew, Simon Peter, Shimon Petrus, those are those early disciples that followed him. This is so beautiful to see, because it really shows us some details that we don't get in the Gospel of John. As we continue on, and you find out that in verse 38, Yeshua asked those disciples, it says in verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and he saw them following. He said unto them," he says, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Notice that they call him Rabbi. The Hebrew word Rabbi, or Rabbi in English, in Hebrew we say Rabbi. Rabbi simply means Harav Sheli, my teacher. Two words is Rav Sheli. Rav means teacher. Sheli means mine. Together, Ravi or Rabbi simply mean my teacher. And notice what they call him, Rabbi. Again, to remind you, it simply means teacher. You notice throughout the Gospel of John and elsewhere, Yeshua the Messiah is called Rabbi or my teacher. Of course, he's more than just a teacher. He's the eternal Son of God. He's more than just a teacher. He is the creator of the universe who became a man, and the Word became flesh. But he, in his life, he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. What a privilege it must have been for the disciples to listen to his teaching. What a teacher he must have been. What a rabbi he must have been. In chapter 1, a bit later on, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, teacher, my teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Notice that. He was much more than just a teacher. He was much more than just a rabbi. He was the eternal Son of God. He was the King of the Jews, the King of Israel. He was the Lamb of God. So how beautiful it is that they called him Rabbi, teacher. In John chapter 3, also we find out of Nicodemus. We'll get to it later on. He came to him. Nicodemus was the great, one of the leaders of our people, Israel of old. He came to the Lord Yeshua by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that come from God." Even the, you might say, the ruler of Israel called Yeshua Rabbi, because Yeshua was a rabbi. You're the teacher in Israel. He was the teacher of teachers. No one is like him. It is so interesting that all throughout Scripture he is called Rabbi. In chapter 4, in verse 31, we read, In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." Rabbi, tochal. Rabbi, eat. They called him Rabbi in Hebrew. "You are our teacher," they called him. In chapter 6, in verse 25, also we read, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Rabbi, teacher, when did you come hither to hear? When did you arrive to hear? It is fascinating how throughout the Gospel of John we read of him as the rabbi, as the teacher. In chapter 9, the blind man Jesus answered and said, we read of the blind man, and the disciple asked the Lord Yeshua, they said to him, Master, that's the word rabbi. Rabbi, who did sin, this man or his parent, that he was born blind? They want him to teach them. Why is that he is in such condition as a blind man? In chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, we read in verse 8, the disciples said unto him, Rabbi, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou hither again? Rabbi, the Jewish leaders did not agree with you, and they were going to stone you. Are you going to go there to the city of Yerushalayim? Are you going to do so? But they called him Rabbi. And so how beautiful, as we go back to chapter 1 and verse 38, as they ask him, Rabbi, where do you dwell? Why would somebody want to ask him, where do you dwell? Because they wanted to know, where does he live? Because they wanted to follow after him and hear what he has to say. And how beautiful it is when the Lord is responding to them in the next verses. But he asked them, what do you want? Whom do you seek? What do you want from me? And they said, where do you live? Why do you ask him, where do you live? Because they wanted to go to be with him and sit under his feet and learn from him. Do you want to learn from him? Do you remember how Mary or Miriam sat at his feet, listening to the advice, to the counsel, to the word of the Lord, to the word of Yeshua the Messiah, this rabbi, this rabbi, this master? This is the rabbi of rabbis, who knew the God, who taught the word of God to his followers in the days of his life, in the days of his flesh here upon the face of this earth. And notice how beautiful, in the next verses, we read that the Lord is inviting them, and he says, come and see. Come and see. In Hebrew it says, bo'u, u'u. Come and see. Come and see is found in Scripture many, many, many times, beloved brothers and sisters. Come and see is an invitation of the Lord. Come, bo'u, u'u, and see. Come and see where I live. Why? Because when one see where he lives and where he is and what he does, he or she are getting attracted to this person. And you remember what we read in the Scripture, how the kind of a life our Lord Yeshua the Messiah have lived. You remember, we read of him that he was he lived simple. He lived in such a way that no one in humility, in simplicity. He was the one of whom we read that the simple life that he lived was an attraction to all, beloved brothers and sisters. It says, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. We read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, he declared this for himself. In other words, here in this world, while he was the creator of all things, he had really nowhere to lay his head. He was living, you might say, in the midst of his own, those who loved him, those who furnished for him a place to be. He was here in his creation. He lived, you might say, in dependence of God and the provision of those who loved him. And so we read, come and see. Come and see. And notice where these beloved brothers and sisters, they came and they saw where he dwelt. And they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. It's getting to be evening. You remember, in Israel, the days began at evening. And from even to even ye shall celebrate your Shabbat, Leviticus 23 and verse 32. And so the days began at the evening, the day was the end of the day, and then we see they came and they dwelt with him that day. And when we say dwelt with him that day, they remain with him overnight, and they enjoy his presence, and they ended up to be so much attracted to the Lord Jesus himself. We read now in the next verses, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, we saw the first disciples, Andrew and another. And so we now continuing to read in the next verse, verse 40, 41, and 42, we read in these verses about another disciple. Notice that in verse 40, one of the two, so that Andrew and another, that another disciple must have been John, the one, the evangelist who gave us this gospel. Why? Because he never mentioned his name. In this Gospel of John, he always called himself the disciple whom Yeshua, Jesus, loved. But now notice, one of those disciples, notice that it says here in verse 40, one of those disciples which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. You notice that? So one of the two was Andrew. Now what does he do? He was Simon Peter's brother, so he found now in verse 41, he find his own brother Simon. And he saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, the Christos in the Greek. The Messiah comes from the Hebrew word, the Mashiach. Translated into the Greek is the Christos, that's how we get the word Christ in the English. But it's coming from the Hebrew word Mashiach, Messiah. So what happened is that Andrew find his brother Shimon and he say to him, we have found the Messiah. You remember, beloved brothers and sisters, we have already mentioned earlier that there was an anticipation in Israel for the coming of the Messiah. Over 400 years have passed by since the last prophet of Israel, Malachi, had made a promise that one will come, behold my messenger, he will come to introduce the messenger of the covenant, Malach HaBrit. And here is John the Baptizer introducing the messenger of the covenant. There was an anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. So, 400 years, over 400, 450 years passed by now since Yeshua began his public ministry. And here, how precious it is when Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, went to find him and he said to him, we have found the Messiah. The Messiah that Isaiah was speaking about. The Messiah that Daniel was speaking about. The Messiah that Moshe was speaking about. The Messiah whom the prophets of Israel was prophesying, he will come, he will come, he will come. The Messiah that Malachi was speaking about, he is now here. We have found the Messiah. And notice, which is being interpreted, the Christ. You notice that twice in the Gospel of John, John the Evangelist, help us to understand that when we say Messiah, Mashiach, we say Christ, Christos, the same person, the same one. In John chapter 4 and verse 25, if you remember the Samaritan woman, she also, in chapter 4 and verse 25 said, the woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah is coming, which is called Christos, Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. So here, Andrew said to Simon Peter, Shimon, we have found the Messiah. I love this expression because any one of us who come from Israel, from among our Jewish people, when we discover who this Jesus, this Yeshua is, we realize that he is the promised Messiah for our people of Israel. The Messiah of Israel, while the vast majority of our people do not accept him as yet as the Messiah, but actually, beloved friend, he is the Messiah, the promised Messiah of Israel. To remind you that we are in John 1, there was not yet the church age as yet. The church will be born 3.5 years after this time, because once the Lord ministered among the people of Israel during these 3.5 years, the church was not yet in existence. They anticipated the kingdom is coming. That's why John, in the previous verses, says, make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet says, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is coming, the king is in our midst. The kingdom will be established, but the kingdom was not accepted and the king was rejected, and that's why the kingdom was postponed, and the church age will be established. And now for 2,000 years, we live about 2,000 years during this church age today. But here, beloved friends, beloved brothers and sisters, Andrew present before Shimon that the Messiah, we have found the Messiah. Notice in verse 42, how beautiful. Andrew brought Peter to Simon to the Lord. And notice to Yeshua, it says in verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Yeshua. And when Yeshua beheld him, he said, thou art Simon Bar Yonah. Shimon Bar is the Aramite for the Hebrew Ben. And oftentimes we are interchanging this. We use the word for Bar Mitzvah, the son of the commandments, when a boy becomes 13 years of age among our people of Israel, he has a bar mitzvah, the son of the commandment. The word bar is equivalent to the Hebrew word ben. Here we find Simon. Here the Lord said, Simon, Shimon, bar Yonah. His father was Yonah, like Yonah Hanavi, Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, or Kepha. The word Kepha is the Hebrew word for stone, or the Aramite Hebrew for stone. That word is very interesting because it's found in Job chapter 30 and verse 6, and Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 29. The word is Kephim, mean rocks. Your name is Kepha, the Aramite for the Hebrew for stone, Kepha. Aramite and Hebrew interchanging. And so you find here that now Shimon was called now by the name Cephas or Kepha, which simply mean a stone. And why? Because Peter, a rock or a stone, a rock, is going to be the one that will become the rock, the pillar in the midst of the assembly. And he will give a testimony that Yeshua Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, as we will read it later on. But we clearly can see it in Matthew chapter 16, where the Lord said to him, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock in Matthew chapter 16, and verse 18 is the testimony that Peter, that Cephas gave, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said in Matthew 16:18, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not upon Peter, but upon the confession of Peter, that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the Son of God. And so how beautiful it is, beloved brothers and sisters, and you notice that he changed the name of Simon. He changed it, and he said, Simon Bar Yonah, thou shalt be called Kepha, Cephas. Now remember, it is very common, you might say, in biblical days, that God himself changed the name of some of his servants. For example, Avram, in Genesis 17, verse 5, his name was changed to Abraham. Sarai, in Genesis 17, verse 15, was changed to Sarah. Jacob in Genesis 32 verse 28 was changed from Yaakov to Israel. Beautiful to see. Here in John 1:42, Peter, or I should say Shimon's name, was changed from Shimon to Kepha or Cephas. Amazing. In Esther chapter 2 and verse 7, Hadassah's name was also changed to Esther. And that's a name that was given to her in the diaspora. Why? Hadassah means myrtle. A Hebrew name was given to Esther, which is star, because of the fact that they lived in the diaspora away from the land. Even Shaul, Saul, his name was called Paul, because when he lived in the diaspora, his name was also called Paul, Shaul and Paul. In fact, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, we read that all believers, all the conquerors, all the overcomers will receive a new name. It's wonderful. And let me remind you that even the three boys who were friends of Daniel, the three Jewish boys in the book of Daniel, in chapter 1. The Babylonians changed their name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they wanted to indoctrinate them to become like pagans. But their name was Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, and also Daniel. Belteshazzar, they gave him another name. So you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, the difference, because in the pagan world, they receive the pagan names in order to hide the biblical Hebrew names which they had, which meant so much. Hananiah means Jehovah had mercy. Azariah means if God is, or Jehovah is my help. Mishael means who is like unto God. Daniel means God is my judge. This is, and Hadassah means myrtle, and her name was changed to Esther. The difference between what happened by the Babylonian and what the Lord is doing, the Lord is actually giving them a biblical Hebrew name or Aramaic name to emphasize who they are and what they're going to do. And in the case of Shimon, he's giving him that name Kepha, Cephas, in order to emphasize the fact that he will become a stone, a rock that will stand for the Lord and be a pillar among the people of God. And so, in verses 35 to 42, we find out about the early first disciples of the Lord. So we have Andrew, and then we have John, whose name is another disciple, because there were two disciples of John the Baptizer who followed the Lord Yeshua in that verse 37. And then we have Shimon is introduced to us, whose name was now changed by the Lord to Kepha, to Cephas. Now notice, as we continue on from verse 43 to verse 51, we have the next disciples, which are really Philip and Nathanael mentioned now. These are the early five disciples of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And apparently, the first two, which we read about here in verse 35, Andrew and John, the apostle, they were the first one. They left John the baptizer and follow after Yeshua the Messiah. So now let's go to verse 43 to 51, and you notice the following day. Very interesting, because in verse 43 it says, the day following, Yeshua would go forth into Galilee, and notice, here we find Philip. He found Philip, and he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. And you notice what happened. Philip, verse 44, was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Apparently, they were all living close by in the north, in the Galilee. If you ever travel with us to the land of Israel, you will enjoy to come to the very same location where these disciples have lived. That word Bethsaida comes from two Hebrew words, bait, house. Tsaida, or latsud in Hebrew, means is where you are fishing. You are fishers of men. It's the house where you hunt, where you fish. And so there we find out that in that city, it was the city of Andrew and Peter, and there you find out, verse 44, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew, but you notice that he is the one that was called, the Lord called him, he said, follow me, Philip. And so we read in verse 45, beloved brothers and sisters, what does Philip does? After we find out that Philip now followed him, you notice what it says in verse 45, he find Nathanael. And you notice it's so beautiful. One friend find another, one friend find another. And this is so precious because there is this privilege to share with others concerning the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed of the Lord, the Redeemer, the Savior. And it's so important for us to share this with one another, with others. And let them know about the person of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So Philip find Nathanael. And he said to Nathanael in verse 45 now, notice that. Notice this statement. This is so precious. He says, we have found him. A little bit different than what we read earlier. We have found the Messiah, verse 41, Simon was told, Matsanu et HaMashiach. We have found the Messiah, verse 41. But now notice, it's not so much we have found the Messiah, but we have found him. Who is that him? Who is that him? Notice the him here of verse 45 that Philip says to Nathanael, we have found him. He continues and he says, look at this. That him, that person, is the one that Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Moshe wrote of him. The prophets wrote of him. And his name is Jesus, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Yosef. So in other words, Moses in the law and the prophets spoke concerning the coming Messiah. And you remember, beloved friends, that earlier in that very first chapter, when those that came down from Jerusalem, these priests and Levites, they asked John, Yohanan, are you, who are you? He said, I'm not the Messiah. Are you Eliyahu? Well, why he asked them if you're Eliyahu? Because Malachi wrote about Eliyahu that will come. He says, no, I'm not. And then they ask, are you that prophet? Verse 21 of our chapter. And you notice what John says, no, but who is that prophet? Is the one of whom we read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, when Moshe said to our forefathers, the people of Israel, a prophet like unto me, God will raise from among you. He will be from among you a prophet that will be raised by God, and you have to listen to him. And so Philip said to Nathanael, we have found him, the one that was, that Moses spoke about him in the Torah, in the law. But not only Moshe wrote about him, but the prophet spoke about him. And beloved friends, the whole prophets of Israel wrote about the coming Messiah. And of course we know that the famous prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53 that we all love to read, of the Messiah that will come in Isaiah chapter 53, and where we read these famous words, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteem him not." Isaiah is prophesying concerning the coming the Messiah. In verse 4 of Isaiah 53, "Surely he has borne us our griefs and carried our sores, and we did esteem him stricken and smitten and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all." The him. Who is that him? "He shall grow up. He has no form, no comeliness. When we shall see him, he is despised. We hid our faces from him, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our grief. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God." The him of Isaiah 53 is the him of John 1 and verse 45. Philip said to Nathanael, "We have found him. We have found him." Have you found him, my dear friend? Have you found the Messiah? Have you found the Son of God who became a man by the name Yeshua from Nazareth, who was born to the Virgin Miriam? Have you found him and you embraced him and accepted him as your Lord and Savior and Mashiach? We have found him. And notice how beautiful, beloved friend, as we continue here, it says in the next verses, verse 46, here's the response of Nathanael. Initially, Nathanael said, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was a small town in the Galil. Small town in the Galil, Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of this small town? If there is any good thing, it will come out of Yerushalayim. If there is any good thing, it will come out of the center of Jerusalem, the center of Israel. But Nazareth, a small town in a far way north of Israel, in the Galil, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked. And look at this, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend. Philip said unto him, "Come and see." This is so precious, because that's the whole point. That when the Messiah will come, he will come into this world in humility. He will come as a descendant of David. He will come as the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 11, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Here's where you get the word branch, netzer. The Hebrew word come from Nazareth. The word netzer and Nazareth is the same word. "And there shall come a rod out of the stem," out of the stump. You know, when you have a shoot
that come out of a stump. The lowest part of the tree is the stump. And out of it will come a shoot. And then it will be the one that will become the branch that will come out of the roots of Jesse, the roots of David. It is so precious to realize that when the Messiah will come, he will not come in his first coming in power and glory, but he will come in humility. He will be born of the Virgin Miriam. He will become as a humble man that will come into this world in humility. And here we find Nathanael's question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Any good thing? Well, Philip said to him, come and see. You remember we already read when they asked Yeshua, where do you dwell? In verse 39, Yeshua said, come and see. Bo'u v'tiru. Here we have here, Nathanael, come, bo, v'tire. Come and see. You come and observe for yourself. And beloved friend, as you and I observe the person of the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, and we come to him to see, come to the Bible, come to the Word of God, come to the promises that are found in the Word of God. Come away from the world and all that which keeps us so occupied to come to the, to see Scripture, to see the Word of God, to see what God has for you, for me, for us, for humanity. Come and see. Come and see. And you will find the loveliest person that ever lived. A man by the name of Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, the Messiah. A man that was born to the Virgin Miriam, according to the prophets of Israel. We have found him whom Moshe, Moses in the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the prophets from Yeshayahu, Isaiah to Malachi, Malachi. All the prophets have spoken concerning him. This is so important, beloved friend. The Lord Yeshua himself, when he spoke to the disciples who were so discouraged and went down from Emmaus, and they went down from Jerusalem to Emmaus, he is the one that spake to them and opened to them the Scriptures. And you remember what we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, we read how the Lord opened their eyes. And he said to them in verse 25 of Luke chapter 24, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And then later on, when he came into the midst of the disciples, and he said unto them in verse 44 of Luke chapter 24, he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moshe, Torah Moshe. And in the prophets, Nevi'im, and in the Psalms, in the writings concerning me. You notice the three distinction or the three separation of the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures. The law, the prophets, the writing. Torah, Nevi'im, Ktuvim. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, the writing. These are the three divisions of the Old Testament as is known today, the Hebrew Scriptures. We call it the Tanakh, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And all the law, the prophets, and the writings spoke about the coming Mashiach. And now he's here. He came, beloved friend, and here we see, Nathanael, come and see. Come, Nathanael, come and see. Nathanael is the name of our youngest son, a gift of God, Nathanael. And how precious it is to read of Nathanael here. And notice what, beloved friend, as we conclude here with this passage, When he said Nathanael, he invited him to come and see him, and Yeshua saw Nathanael in verse 47. He come to him, Nathanael came. And he said unto him, behold, look at the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. Look what he said about Nathanael. He said, an Israeli indeed, Israeli amiti in Hebrew, in whom there is no guile. Well, Nathanael is just like you and I, there is much guile in us. In you and I, there is much guile, beloved friend. In Nathanael, there was guile. But here we see this expression that the Lord in verse 47, he says, in whom there is no guile. Zehu Yisraeli asher en bo remia. No lie, no guile. But why does he say it to Nathanael? Not because Nathanael was sinless. Not because Nathanael did not have any guile in the sense that he never lied or he never have fault in him. No, but he was a man that was ready to receive the Lord into his heart. And the moment you and I came to a point where we recognize that we are wrong before God, ready to receive the Lord Yeshua the Messiah in our hearts, God is give us a standing before him. He recognized, he acknowledged us as forgiven. And here is the Lord is preparing now to open the heart of Nathanael and Nathanael to see who Yeshua, who Jesus really is. That would happen when a person become a believer. We become justified by him. We become reconciled to him. The Apostle Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 8, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, in the Messiah Yeshua. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, in the believers, because his righteousness are being attributed to the believer. In Romans chapter 10, we find out that the believer, as it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Because the law is so holy and man by nature is so sinful, but when a person accepts the Lord Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah, his righteousness is being attributed to the believer. What a wonderful truth to learn. And so Yeshua said of Nathanael, he says, behold an Israeli indeed in whom there is no guile. So Nathanael, beautiful, he saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me? In verse 48, he questioned, how is it that you know me? And Yeshua's answer to him, look at this. Yeshua showed to Nathanael that he was much more than just another man, much more than just another rabbi, much more than just another prophet, but he was the all-knowing God, the Son, who knows all things about all men. And he says, before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. I saw you. Even before Philip called you, I saw thee. I saw you. You see, beloved friend, God sees everything about us. He knows everything about all of us because he is God. He is divine. And he knows all things about us. You remember what the psalmist of Israel said in Psalm 139 of the all-knowing God? It says, Psalm 139 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. This is David said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my dwelling, my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge, David said about the God of Israel, is too wonderful for me.
It is high, I cannot attain unto it.
God is all-knowing.
He is omniscient. He's everywhere. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And here we find out that Yeshua, Jesus, is omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he said to Nathanael, an Israeli indeed in whom there is no guile. Why? Why do I know that there is no guile in you? Because I prepare your heart to come to know me as the Mashiach, as the Savior, as the King of Israel, as the Son of God. And here, before Philip called you, verse 48, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you, Nathanael. And you know, my dear friend, God see you where you are today. Wherever you are, whatever you do, wherever you go, you might try to hide from God, but He knows you where you are, where you go, what you do. He knows the thoughts of your heart. He knows the word of your mouth before you even said a word. He knows that you failed. He knows that I failed, but He still loves us. That's what's fascinating. And He wants you and I to come and see. Come and see. And you will see the loveliest person that ever lived, who was born to the Virgin Miriam. He is the Mashiach of Israel and the Savior of this world. And look how beautiful. Look at the response of Nathanael. Nathanael, you might say, right here, here is where he turned his heart in full recognition by the Spirit of God to see who Yeshua Jesus is. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, here's again the word Rabbi, teacher, but he's more than just a teacher, more than just a Rabbi. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel, Nathanael said to Rabbi Yeshua. The Son of God. The Son of God, beloved friend, you remember what we said again and again in the study of the Gospel of John? That the purpose of the writing of the Gospel of John is found in John 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Here is when Nathanael received life, through the name of Yeshua. And where he declared that he was the Son of God, Ben Elohim. But not only that, he also recognized that Yeshua is the King of Israel. He is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. And he is the King of the Jews, the King of Israel. The Son of God and the King of Israel. You remember how the Gospel of Matthew began in chapter 2. Right when the wise men came and they asked the question, where is he that was born the King of the Jews? Matthew 2 and verse 2. He is the King of the Jews. On the cross, the superscription was, this is Jesus, Yeshua, Melech HaYehudim, the King of the Jews. But before he's going to reign as a king, he must become the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of this world. Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Wonderful. What a day that will be when Israel, the nation, will come to recognize that Yeshua is indeed the promised King of Israel, when Israel will turn their hearts as a nation to that Rabbi, to that Son of God, to that Mashiach, and Israel will recognize that He is the King of Israel, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now to conclude this message, verses 50 and 51, look at the promise. Look at the response of Yeshua to Nathanael, who have confessed who he was. Yeshua said in verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Nathanael, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? You believe because I said this. Thou shalt see greater things than these. Notice what the greater things than these. Notice that. He will see greater things than this. He will say in verse 51, and that's the last verse of John chapter 1. Yeshua, Jesus said to Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Notice the word Son of Man. This is a messianic title that Yeshua gave always to himself in the gospel. Ben Ha'adam, taken from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. He was the promised Ben Ha'adam, the Son of Man, the Mashiach. This is a messianic title. Son of Man. Son of Man mentioned many times. But notice, you will see God's angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam. And the word for the angels here, as we have here the angels, it is the messengers of God, Malachei Adonai. They will be the one that will serve the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of Man. Of course, he making a reference to Genesis chapter 28, when Yaakov had this vision, if you remember, in chapter 28, verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba, and he went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took off the stones of that place, and he put them for a pillow, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Genesis 28, verse 10 and 11. And then verse 12, it says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, on that ladder. And behold, God stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou layest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You notice, dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, the letter from the earth to the heavens that Yaakov saw is a symbolic, is a type, is a picture of the Messiah. The only ground upon which anyone will ever get to heaven is through Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, who said in verse 51, verily, verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see, you, Nathanael, and all the disciples, you will see heaven open. The angels of God ascending and descending upon, not upon the ladder, but upon the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam, the Messiah, Yeshua himself, who is the Son of God, the King of Israel. What a wonderful promise is the promise that we have here in this John chapter 1. So Nathanael proclaimed, and you and I can proclaim today, Lord, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Rabbi, atahu ben ha-Elohim, atahu melech Yisrael. What a wonderful revelation Nathanael received. And I trust, my dear friend, that as you listen to this message, that you also will receive that revelation from the Lord, who is the Son of God, the King of Israel, and you will trust in him. And you will become a child of God, and you will belong to heaven on the basis of the finished work of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. May God bless you, and may God bless His Word. Take care. Shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.